Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the middle of the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
One hit, no punch. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live here on a Thursday afternoon. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and as always, you, Big Blue Nation. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in on the show. That's how you do it. Also, as always, we'll be monitoring Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat, and we will share your comments and your questions on air. So, but first and foremost, we're here broadcasting from the facility. Meanwhile, the players are out there on the field right now practicing. This is OTA number 5. However, yep, count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. However, no media availability. So there's no media in the building today.
Right, and that's the way Tom Coughlin likes it. The media only gets to go. It really is.
That's how Tom Coughlin likes it.
The media is only allowed to a small percentage of the OTAs, and the next one, I believe, is going to be on Monday when the media is allowed to come in and talk to the players, et cetera, et cetera. So in terms of that, nothing much to see on Twitter, but you do have us for the next hour.
Yeah, we do. And we want to focus. Now, yesterday you said you focused on
the defense.
Yeah, thank you.
We talked about who the leading tackler might be. Yeah. we talked about BC.
You usually have the brain of an elephant.
I'm a little bit in a black hole this morning.
Are you just slow today?
I didn't sleep last night.
Okay.
It happens, especially with me.
I usually don't sleep during football season. So
I
what?
Know.
Okay. Well, we won't get into it. It might be personal. It might be TMI. But anyway, so yesterday you focused on the defense and in regard to you felt who was going to, what, rack up the most sacks?
Beating the leading tackler.
Okay.
And it was
beating tackler.
And you know what? We had a lot of good answers from the folks. It was varied. I believe the winner by the end of the day was Kennard, if I'm not mistaken. Lance was taking the tally, but it was between Kennard. Collins got some support. Beeson got some support. A lot of people concerned about his injuries, though, Anita, not thinking he's going to be able to play the whole 16, and that would hurt his tackle numbers.
Well, let's talk about some of his comments. I mean, he came out, he said, you know, he's not too happy that he's not getting as many reps as he would like during OTAs, but he totally understands why the Giants are doing that, because you want to make sure that he doesn't re-injure that foot, that toe, whatever injuries he's been dealing with in his career. But also, he did make a comment about Devon Kennard. Beeson said that in this Giants defense, that Devon Kennard could be an absolute stud.
Yeah.
So your thoughts in regard to kind of share those who might be tuning in today to Big Blue Kickoff Live, did not tune in yesterday or didn't watch the podcast. And you know, some of the comments that were made that you feel very strongly about, that you agree with, and also comment on what John Beeson had to say.
Well, here's the thing about the scheme that Spags is running, okay? It is going to be your standard 4-3 scheme, but Spags loves to use multiple packages in his back seven. He'll concentrate on letting his front four get the bulk of the pressure, but then when he does send blitzers, he's going to send a wide variety of combinations. It's not going to be anything standard. You know, he loves to do the safety blitz more than a lot of other people do. He'll sometimes send a slot corner. It's nothing standard, okay? And he likes to be able to disguise things. He likes to be able to let guys instinctively do what they want to do out there at the snap. And one of the things I think that will do for Kennard, and Anita, you know, you watched him enough last year, too, to know that he has a very quick step off the snap. Now, we know he's big and strong and he's got power. He showed that at USC. But the knock on him coming out of school was that he may not be quick enough. He may be a half a step slow. Well, what we have found out since he got to the Giants is that he's so smart and he's so instinctive, and he actually does have a quick step off of the snap, that it allows him to play faster than maybe his combine time would indicate. I know you understand that. Maybe some of the folks don't necessarily, but it translates well for him. And I think that's kind of what John Beeson's talking about. One of the other things that John is referring to, he doesn't get in depth to it because a lot of the people don't understand when he says it, but I'll break it down for you very
simply.
Because
you do, Paul Dottino.
Well,
you understand when he says it.
I spent a lot of time doing this.
So for all of us kind of, you know, who don't really get the football jargon, break it down for us in layman terms.
Well, what is the one thing that I said to you last year, and I know you know I said this to you, that he does so well instinctively that really got me excited about him? He avoids the wash. He stays out of the laundry. And that's because Devon Kennard has such good vision and has such good instincts at the snap of the ball. He understands everything that's going on around him. It's not easy to tie him up and block him and take him out of a play. He knows instinctively, and as well as from what he sees, how to stay away from the traffic, how to find open space, and how to get to that ball carrier in a hurry. You know, I can't tell you how many linebackers I've seen, Anita, in the decades I've been doing this, who can't stay out of the wash, who get caught in the laundry time after time after time, and that's one of the reasons why their tackle is 5 yards past the line of scrimmage and the running back's already got the first down. Because they couldn't get there in time because they got caught in the traffic. They got caught in the laundry. Devon Kennard doesn't do that. That's one of the things Beeson's talking about. He doesn't get into explaining it in detail like that. But that's another reason why this guy can be so good. Because he finds the open spaces to get to the ball quickly.
So with all that being said, you agree with a number of the callers from yesterday, and you feel Devon Kennard very well could be the star in this Giants defense in 2015.
Oh, I think he's going to be really good. I don't know if he'll be the leading tackler, because if Beeson stays healthy, I still think he's got a real good shot to do with the middle linebacker.
But don't you think Beeson's going to split time with Jamel McClain?
I don't know. I'm interested to see how the Giants play this. You also know this from covering the league for a long time. Some players are their own worst enemy because they play so hard, they practice so hard, they prepare so hard, and their bodies can't hold up. I think Beeson's one of those guys. He beats himself up. And I don't know if I think the Giants, what they're doing is, they're saying, you're your own worst enemy here. And we're going to try to do everything we can to keep you on the field for as many snaps as possible. So we're going to pull back on all this other stuff. And I think they believe that John is mentally smart enough that he can afford to miss some of these reps. I mean, look, if I said to you, Anita, right now, one guy on the defense who could probably afford to miss some reps, it would be him, wouldn't it? He'd be the guy you would pick?
Right.
Because he's got it up here.
Right.
So I think the Giants are taking that tact on him because they're thinking that to maximize the snaps in the games. And they're saying, John, you're your own worst enemy. We got to pull you back a little bit. So I do think, based on my knowledge of Spags' system, that we know from Antonio Pierce what he did. He became a Pro Bowl player under Steve Spagnuolo. I do believe that Beeson still has a real good shot to lead the team in tackles. I think Collins is going to be right up there, too, and I think Kennard's going to be right up there. I think if all three of them play, it's going to be a three-way battle for the leading tackle.
Well, I said this a few weeks ago. In the number of years that I've been covering the Giants, I really do believe that this is the best linebacking core that I've covered since I've been here.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
So I'm really excited about it. Again, 201-939-4513. Today we're going to switch from defense to offense. We're going to talk about the running backs. Shane Vereen had an opportunity to talk to some of the media, Jenny Vrentis being one of them. I interviewed her about Shane Vereen. It's up on Giants.com if you want to check it out. In regard to how this three-headed monster is going to play out, Rashad Jennings, of course, 30, has not been able to really stay healthy his entire career. Is this the year he does it and doesn't miss one of the games? Shane Vereen coming over from the Patriots. A lot of people anticipating him to just be that third down back, utilizing the passing attack and helping with pass protect for Eli Manning. But the fact that the Giants use no huddle so much, will he be more than that? Will he be utilized more than that? And then Andre Williams, I know Paul and I are big fans. I don't think he proved enough to the Giants fans last year. I think he's going to be even bigger and better this year. As I said earlier, he had that LASIK surgery on his eyes. He said he feels really good. Interesting to see what his role is going to be now that Vereen is here, and how much is he utilized in the red zone on second and goal, third and goal, because obviously he is your power back in this three-headed monster. So I guess, why don't you throw out our show question for today?
Well, we're asking you folks, of the Giants running backs, okay, which of them you think will have the most touches and the most combined yards from the backfield? whether it's receiving or running the ball. We're not talking about all-purpose yards, because obviously the tight end and the wide receiver would be involved in that. We're just talking about the running backs entirely.
Right.
Just the running backs. Who's going to be the leading producer of the Giants running backs? And to talk about Anita's point on Vereen running the ball, remember, with the Patriots, he averaged 4.2 yards per carry for his four-year career. And net didn't have over 100 attempts in any one of those seasons, but showed enough that he was effective in running the ball. The only number I'm going to give you, and this may or may not be an indication of what he can do from scrimmage running it, is that his longest run is only 21 yards in 4 years. So not a big play threat from a run formation. We know from a passing situation, he's very dangerous catching the ball out of the backfield. But for some reason, and I would think that a guy with his skill set, especially when he gets out into some space, if you were able to break some space for him on a running play, he should be able to break one. But yet, I'm looking at longs in his four-year career of 19, 16, 21, and 19. That's not usually what you want to see from your running back. You'd like to see him be able to break a 30-yard run on occasion. So that's interesting to me. I didn't see him enough play after play after play with the Patriots carrying the ball.
I was just going to say, but keep in mind the way that the Patriots utilized him. I think he's going to be utilized a lot differently here with the Giants than he was in New England. I said that Bill Belichick is the fantasy football antichrist, because it's you never want to own one of his running backs, because you have no idea each and every week how he game plans for them.
Right.
There was weeks, Paul, where Shane Vereen didn't even get a touch, didn't even get a down,
yeah.
Didn't play at all. And that's because there's really no one big superstar in the backfield with the Patriots. It's kind of like Bill has all these like B+, C+ players at running back. And he'll game plan for them based on the opponent.
Right.
And you never know who he's game planning for. So, again, Shane Vereen, I feel, is going to be utilized much differently here with the Giants. And we'll see if those numbers change at all. 201-939-4513, our show question today. Running backs, who do you feel is going to have the most all-purpose yards out of the three running backs? Rashard Jennings, Shane Vereen, and Andre Williams. How about this? This is from Joe. I think Williams gets the most rushing yards, and Vereen will get the most receiving yards. Not sure if Jennings can stay healthy.
It's a fair question, because Rashard Jennings has never played 16 games in one season before. And he's been around this league now for half a dozen years. And until he can play 16, I can't dispute your doubts. He works hard enough at it. I mean, I don't know how many people I've seen work harder at their physique and at their workout regimen. Amani Toomer was a guy who was like that. And Amani was healthy for most of his career outside of the blown-out knee, which he came back from twice. I can't argue. I mean, it's a fair point.
And I don't mean to, repeat a story that maybe a lot of Giants fans know already in regard to Rashard Jennings, and this is why I like him so much, is that he grew up pretty much a fat kid that nobody drafted, nobody mm-hmm. picked up. You know, you're out there, you're playing pickup football, or you're at school and you're at recess, and, you know, your two best guys play captain, and then, of course, they start picking, and Rashard Jennings was the one guy who was like, oh, you take Rashard, I don't want him. then had a hard time getting recruited to go to high school. Getting recruited to go to college, and was the fourth string running back on his high school football team. And one, I guess there was a Tennessee scout that came to his high school. Do you know the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a Tennessee scout that came to, of course you know the story. There was a Tennessee scout who came to one of his high school football games, and it just so happened that game, the first, second, and third string running backs went down with injuries. And on top of that, the first and second string defensive ends went out with injuries. So his coach, who like never gave him a chance, never gave him a shot, always had him ride the bench, said, I need you to play. So that game that the Tennessee scout was there attending, I think he scored two rushing touchdowns at
right.
the running back position, and he scored two defensive touchdowns by, I want to say, one was a pick for six, and the other one, he recovered a fumble that he had created and ran it in for a touchdown.
So the
Tennessee scout is in the stands going, who is this kid? What is going on here? Why is he fourth string running back? So apparently the Tennessee scout had made some phone calls to some other schools, just notifying them of Jennings on this high school football team sitting fourth on the depth chart in the running back. And so that's where he gets his motivation. And I love it. I love that story.
The moral of the story and why he is a Tom Coughlin favorite. He made the most of his opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is another thing really quick. You know what? During the off season, he sets like a goal for himself. Like
right.
One off season, he taught himself how to play the guitar. Another off season, he made it a point. He wanted to find out every state's flower and bird. You know, like he's like, so every off season he does something, you know, that's a little out of the box, but kind of interesting, fun, unique, intelligent. He's just a cool dude. I'm really excited about this backfield. I'm really excited about this season to see what they can do. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's kick it off with line one. Andrew calling in from PA. Andrew, how you doing?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hi.
I think that, Jennings is going to lead with all-purpose yards,
okay,
as long as he's healthy. But I do think Williams, I'm hoping, will lead the running backs with touchdowns, getting into those goal-to-go situations, putting him in, and hopefully just letting him power it up right up the middle.
You just sang music to her ears, because running backs who get a lot of touchdowns, big fantasy points.
Yes. That is true, Pa.
Yes, it is. You know what? You make a good point, because if the Giants are going to somewhat delegate the three guys into different areas and different chapters of the playbook, it would seem to me, Anita, and again, I could be wrong, don't know this, we're going to have to see how it shakes out, but it would seem to me that when the Giants get inside the five, Andre Williams is probably the best suited guy to punch it in, because after all, at Boston College, he was a touchdown machine. I mean, they couldn't keep him out of the end zone. So I would tend to agree with your philosophy there.
Okay. Now, if you don't mind, I wanted to get on the wide receivers real quick. Julian Talley, is he still on the team? Because he wouldn't be eligible for practice squad anymore, right?
He is not. Let me just take a glance and see if somebody picked him up and signed him. No, he is not on the team. He is listed as where now? Now the last listing. Arena Football. I see an Arena Football listing for him now. So perhaps that's the situation where he is. No, there's nothing new. I don't know. I don't know where he is right now, to be perfectly honest with you. Remember, he got hurt. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. If you have, you know, Cruz, Beckham, Randall. And is Dwayne Harris, I kind of think, not from watching it, just in my head, that Preston Parker is going to be battling out with Dwayne Harris. Because they kind of, don't you think they're kind of,
you know what?
Preston Parker, what?
Let me wipe the egg off my face. Talley's still on the roster. I don't remember seeing him out there, the whole OTAs. Julian Talley's still on the roster, Nile. Yeah. He's still on the roster. Bad on me.
But he wouldn't be practice squad eligible, though, right? He has too many games started, active, whatever.
Yeah, I would be surprised. He's listed as a first-year pro, and that's my bad. I honestly, you know, I haven't even noticed him out there during OTAs. So
that's not good.
No, it's not good.
No,
it's even worse that I made the mistake about him not being on the roster. So my apologies to him and his family. He is still here.
And you put him all the way back to Arena League.
That was really scary. Hey, it's the first of probably several mistakes that we'll make this year. It does happen. None of us are perfect.
Yeah, but with those three up front, is Preston Parker kind of in a battle with Dwayne Harris? Will both those guys make the team? Because I guess they could squeeze the rookie. Do you think they could sneak the rookie on the practice squad if need be?
Oh, I don't think Jeremy Davis is going to make it through the practice squad. I think Jeremy Davis was drafted to make this team. He's a special teams demon for sure, and I think he can give them something as a receiver. I would be shocked if he didn't make the 53. So as far as Parker's concerned, I think he's got an uphill battle. I think because he's been here before and because he has produced and he does have experience in the league, that gives him a bit of a feather in his cap. But he's going to have to outwork and outproduce the guys on the back end of that wide receiver depth chart if he's going to stick around. He's going to be in a struggle and a battle, but it's not impossible. I mean, you never know what could happen.
Okay, all right. Thanks a lot, guys. Good show.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Some more tweets coming in, and please, again, feel free. Tweet us. Show question. What running back do you think heading into this season is going to have the most all-purpose yards? Hashtag Giants chat. George De Jesus feels that Williams is going to be a touchdown machine this year. Shane thinks that Vereen will have the most all-purpose yards out of the backfield due to his catching ability.
It's not an easy question. It's really not.
I like this tweet. Mike Cook says, pass protection means a lot. Jennings is an every-down back that can catch. Williams will need to earn reps. And Shane Vereen is very good at pass protection.
He is. And so, let me tell you something. You want to talk about some of the great coaches in this league. You know, they've got some real sticking points for their players. One of them usually is, you better be able to help protect that quarterback. And Belichick is as much a stickler as Coughlin is on that one. If you're a running back who doesn't pick up the blitz, you're not getting on the field. Some guys are a little more lenient than they are, but these guys are tough on that regard.
Big Dash 07088 says, I say Rashad Jennings because he was one of the top rushers in the league last season before he got hurt early in the year. It's true.
It is true. He was in the top three. And then he got injured, and, you know, that sidetracked everything. Look, I will say one thing. I do believe that the Giants want to use this three-man system. I don't believe they want one guy to carry the ball 270 times and then to get another maybe 40 or 50 touches out of the backfield. That's not what they're hoping to do here. So whoever leads, and maybe this is another kind of side question to the one we've already thrown out there. I don't think any one of the Giants' three running backs is a lock to even gain 1,000 yards rushing. You might wind up having one guy with 850, another guy with 750, and the other guy might have 450. I mean, that's possible, don't you think?
Absolutely. Shane Hall thinks that Williams and Vereen will rise to the top. Unfortunately, he just doesn't believe that Jennings is going to stay healthy. Ed feels that Andre Williams will be the Giants' leading rusher this season, be a top five running back in 2016. Hey! That's some hefty expectations right there.
Yeah, that's saying a lot. And you know, the only bad news to that, for him to put up those kinds of numbers, it probably means Jennings does have to get hurt and Vereen has to be a washout.
201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Let's go to line three. We've got Vic calling in from Florida. Vic, welcome. You're up.
Good afternoon, Anita, and buongiorno, Paolo.
How you doing, Vic?
Come stai oggi? Listen, leading rusher to me is going to be Williams, simply because the offensive line is, I think, is much improved. We'll have to see with Flowers, but I think Williams is going to be the guy. And on the flip side of that, speaking of wide receivers, don't be a bit surprised if Corey Washington has a decent season. If he can show to Coughlin that he's a special teamer, he's gonna have his catches. Believe me when I tell you. And another thing, Anita, I want to ask you if you by now know how to pronounce Owabame Odigizua.
Odigizua.
Yeah.
I've been practicing.
His first name is Owabame.
Odigizua.
Odigizua.
I think that I've gone up a level. Instead of calling him double O, I think I'm just going to call him Odigi. I dig that. Odigi.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, guys, you listen. You guys have a nice day, and I love your show. Both you guys do a great job, I'll tell you. Have a good one, and I'll chat with you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Vic. Always fun hearing from you from Florida. Odigi, I think we've got to roll with that.
Okay.
I know you like to say the whole thing.
I cheat a little bit. I call him Owa because that's the abbreviation for his first name. I don't go with the whole Owabame. I go with Owa. Hey.
I think Odigi sounds cool, though.
Odigi's cool.
Right?
Hey, how about Sack? That's cool. That's the best one of all. Hey, one thing I do want to mention about the running game, and you know, we've been talking about the running backs all morning. One thing the Giants are going to have to get done, they're going to have to get more blocking out of the tight end position if this running game is truly going to meet its potential. And I don't care which one of the three guys is carrying the ball, Anita. I really don't. Because if the Giants can't get better blocking from the tight ends, it's just not going to result in the production they need to be as balanced as they want to be, and it won't give them the consistent power running game that they need to get those first downs on third and short that allows them to keep drives going and eat the clock up and do all the things that they want to do as an offense. It's going to be very, very important that those guys up front, again, look at the tight end position and how well that blocks during the preseason. I don't care which one of the guys it is. Keep an eye on that, because when the Giants make big runs, the way their scheme is designed and a lot of their off-tackle stuff especially, they've got to get that block on the edge. It's a big deal.
Anita Marks, Paul DeTino, and of course you. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. Also, hashtag Giants chat. Got a lot of tweet action happening today in regard to our show question, and that is, which running back do you feel is going to have the most all-purpose yards in 2015? So we do want to hear from you. Also, while we're hosting the show, Giants are actually practicing. Is OTA number 5. They're out on the field right now. No media here today. This is not a media day. So Giants, the Giants tweet is keeping us up to speed in regard to what's happening. So, Paul, just to bring you up to speed.
Yeah.
Team drills have begun. Wide receiver Reuben Randall shows his vertical jumps to make a nice catch from Eli Manning today. Also, a TD alert. Adrian Robinson stretches out for a pass from Eli Manning in the end zone.
How about that?
So Adrian scores today. And also a nice play from cornerback Prince Amukamara. He breaks up a fade pass in the end zone. So this is what's happening right now outside on the practice field while we're hosting the show. And, of course, all that news and all that information is from the Giants tweet.
Can I mention something about Prince while we have a second? I'm glad you mentioned him, because it came out the other day that he's going to be the Giants player who does the weekly audio hit on the fan here in New York. Now, why is that important? It's important because the Giants lost Antoine Roll to free agency to the Bears. And there's been a lot of talk around here as to who's going to be the next leader, who's going to be the vocal guy, who's going to step up and be the guy who rallies everybody else in the locker room and maybe even before the game with their blapping. And
blapping.
Well, whatever the case may be.
Blapping.
Yapping, blapping.
That's your word for today, folks. Blapping.
Yeah.
Try to use it in a sentence.
It's not easy.
I dare you.
And Prince, to me, has never been that kind of guy. And now all of a sudden he signs a deal to be a regular radio guy and a radio contributor, which says to me, okay, guess what, Prince? You're now going to be the vocal spokesman of that secondary at very least, if not the defense.
All right, I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
Are you surprised? I'm surprised.
I'm not surprised. I mean, this is something you and I talked about. Who's the leader in that locker room? If it's, I'm going to say this. Based on what you and I know, if it's me and I run a radio station, I'm going after John Beeson.
Right.
That's who I want.
Right.
That's who I want every week.
Right.
Who do you want?
He had done that last year, and then he got hurt, and so they sidetracked him.
Who do you want?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that Beeson would be the guy.
Okay, well, I took Beeson already. He's off the board.
All right, you're taking Beeson away.
Who's your number two?
I think I'm going Rashad Jennings.
Okay, that's fair.
I wouldn't mind talking to him every week.
That's fair.
You know? But Prince.
Keep in mind, quick note here, Odell Beckham Jr., he's got a spot with Michael Kay on ESPN.
Okay.
So you're going to have Odell on ESPN. You'll have Prince on the fan.
Okay. I didn't know about the Odell
deal.
So you've got
an offensive voice on one radio network. You've got a defensive voice on the other.
Yeah. I just think that from the Prince perspective, it's a guy I probably wouldn't have put money on him being the guy. And yet he's turned out to be the guy. And the other day, DRC was busting his horns in the locker room and said, you know, now that Trell's here, you're going to have to talk for us. And Prince was like, yeah, really? And DRC's like, yeah, they're going to be coming to your locker.
Yeah, but Prince does a good interview. Is he the kind of guy that's going to step up? Is he your rah, 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 get the troops to get? No. But he actually, I think he's come along. Listen. We're talking about how difficult it is to interview Eric Flowers. Everything close to the vest. He's got a wall up right now. That's going to take some time. You know, I mean, it's hard. It's hard as a rookie to come
sure
into New York City with how the media is here, and like I said, you're talking 5, 6, 7 deep in that locker room
and more.
It's a little overwhelming. So I think Prince is really come along. I think he'll do a nice job on WFAN.
Well, that's cool.
If it's me, I'd want peace.
It's okay. Keep him healthy though. Okay, please don't get him hurt.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line one. Andrew's calling in from New Jersey. How you doing? You're up, my friend.
Good. I always like your best interviews. My favorite were Antrell Roll and Deion Grant. Those were my two favorite guys. And probably your most difficult interview was member Jonathan Goff, the linebacker. Middle linebacker.
Yeah, I miss Deion Grant a lot. He in my time here, he has to be top three, one of my favorite Giants that has been here. He was just fantastic. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I miss him.
Yeah, I don't see Prince as a rah-rah guy either. He seems friendly, you know, like a happy, friendly, easygoing guy. But I want to say, as far as like tackles go, I think the middle linebacker position will get, as a group, the most tackles. But I foresee, like, if Beeson gets injured, then no single middle linebacker will get the most tackles. I think the safety that they drafted might get the most because he might be healthy to start the whole year, so he might wind up getting the most tackles. And you guys were talking about the buzz this year. I think it's even more exciting this year because, like you said, year two in the offense for Eli and the wide receivers, and Spags is back. So last year was exciting, the new offense and all the free agents, but then there were so many injuries. So hopefully we won't have the summer injuries. And I definitely think this is one of the most exciting years, you know, that I remember probably ever, but definitely in like the last 10 years. We have Spags, we have the new offense going to be clicking. So just your thoughts on that, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for the phone call, and thank you for following us for so long. For him to go all the way back to
Jonathan Goff. How about that? Well, Deion, of course.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way.
Where's Goff now? Did he go to Atlanta?
Well, Goff was with the Redskins for a cup of coffee.
Okay.
He actually came back here a couple years ago when the Giants were looking for linebacking help. Guys were dropping like flies. He came back and took a physical and a visit. Remember, his knee blew out. He had a really serious knee injury, and that pretty much ended his career. Good guy, by the way, and it looked like that one year he played after Pierce got hurt, that Goff was going to be the next middle linebacker of the future, and then he got injured, and again, that was the end of that. I do want to mention something about Deion Grant, if I can. He still comes around a lot. You know, we get to see him half a dozen times, maybe more, during the course of the season. He still has, a residence up here in Jersey, as well as down in Georgia. Yeah, and he's a Giant. I mean, even though he played for Seattle and he played for Carolina, he considers himself a Giant. And, he's very interested in Collins. At rookie minicamp, Deion was here. And I got a chance to talk to him, and we talked about Collins. And Deion is very willing to become a big brother, a mentor, whatever you want to call him. He's willing to help out in any way possible to see Landon Collins succeed because he watched him down there. Again, being from Georgia, he's very familiar with the Alabama program. He's seen Collins play, and he really thinks that he's got a lot of potential, and he's going to do everything he can whenever he sees him up here to help him become the kind of safety the Giants want him to be.
And just to make a quick note here in regard to Landon Collins, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie was so kind to give him the number 21. The number 21 was a number that Sean Taylor wore. If you recall, Sean Taylor played DB for the Washington Redskins. Prior to that, was from the University of Miami. I had a chance to cover Sean Taylor. I knew him well, best friends with Antrell Roll, and just really not only a phenomenal, an absolutely phenomenal, no doubt, would have gotten into Canton, no doubt. A phenomenal football player, but just a great teammate and a great person. So sad. I mean, anyone who's played with him, whether it was college or the pros, know what a special human being he was, what a special man, what a special teammate he was, what he meant on that football field. I'd compare him. I'd say that I think you'd be talking about him in regard to comparing him to Ed Reed and how Ed Reed and Sean Taylor, arguably two of the best safeties to ever come out of University of Miami. I mean, that was his talent. That was his work ethic. That's the way he studied. That's the way he prepared. So, you know, for Landon Collins to want the number 21 in honor of Sean Taylor says a lot about his football and knowing what it takes to be a really good football player, great football player in the NFL, and wanting to wear that number is really special. And quick note here, we found out, usually when a guy on a team already has a number and gives it to another teammate, he wants something in exchange for it, whether a trip for him and his family to Disney World, a trip to Hawaii, maybe $25,000. We were able to confirm that Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, and I'm sure a lot of it had to do with the fact that Landon Collins wanted the number to honor Sean Taylor, gave it to him for nothing. So gave up that number 21, which is very special.
You know what's interesting to me about that whole thing, Anita? There are guys who will come to a team and they'll want to honor maybe a former legend from that particular team. But Sean Taylor's 21 seems to carry a lot of weight around the entire league. You got guys around the whole league who say they want 21. I remember here Kenny Phillips with the Giants talked about him a lot, and he wanted 21. What is it, since you covered him at Miami, what is it about him that even now, 8 years later, after the tragic shooting, makes him still such a revered figure throughout the league, not just on teams he played with or people who knew him, but it seems as though his legend just continues on.
The respect that he had when he was in college and then when he made it to the NFL, his level, his ability was just God-given. So I think more than anything, he gained so much respect by his play, and guys knew just how great he was. Mm-hmm. So there was so much respect there. And then when you have a guy that's that good, but still is a really good guy, a great teammate.
Big charity guy too?
I don't know. There's a softball tournament that's played down in South Florida each year. Actually, I've played in about two or three times.
Okay.
So it's nice to kind of hang out with the guys and hear their stories about Sean Taylor. But to answer your question, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the fact that you're talking about a star athlete, a stud athlete that gained so much respect based on his athletic ability and the player he was. And then on top of that, he was just a really good guy and a great teammate and a good friend to everybody. And so you don't, right? A lot of times you don't find that.
No.
A lot of times, like, you know, some of the best players, some of the star players have such big egos. That maybe the way they lead their life or the way that they interact with others just isn't the best. But Sean had it all.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the total package. So anyway, I don't want to spend more time on this. Just Landon Collins will be wearing the number 21 in honor of Sean Taylor.
Good stuff.
This season and, of course, for the remainder of his career. And Dominic Rogers-Cromartie was just a stand-up player and teammate to give it to him for nothing. I do want to hit on this tweet. This is from Ben. This is his question. Really hard question. Giants have probably the most I'll let you say that word.
Compartmentalized?
There you go. Running back group rules in the league.
Look, if I can say Odighi Zua, I can say that.
Yeah, I know you can. So what I did is I went down and I pulled up some of the running back depth charts in the NFL, and I'm going to run them by you in regard to, and just to how do you feel that the Giants compare to some of the depth that's out there right now in the NFL? So the Pittsburgh Steelers, they have, as we know, Le'Veon Bell, and they bring in D'Angelo Williams from Carolina. So they've got a nice 1-2 punch.
If Williams stays healthy, and he's been around a while too.
Right. But I think, you know, he's not going to be the man. Obviously, Bell's going to be the man.
Right.
The Bills, LeSean McCoy and Fred Jackson. I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard.
That's good.
That's going to be a nice 1-2 punch, and both of them are so young. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a second and third year player.
They better be good because Dalton throws a lot of picks.
Behave. Denver, C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman, and Monty Ball. Monty Ball, probably one of the biggest running back busts last season, and I say that because – he ruined two of my fantasy football teams.
What doesn't he do?
Pick up pass the blitz. Protect. He doesn't know how to pass protect, so Peyton doesn't like him on the field. Kansas City, Jamal Charles and Davis. The Vikings, AP, what do you say? Seattle, Lynch, what do you say? Do you need a depth at the, with those two running backs in the backfield?
Can I
probably
ask you a question before
you
go further?
No, I'm not done. New Orleans, Ingram, and keep in mind they bring over C.J. Spiller, and I'm hearing great things about C.J. Spiller at the Saints OTAs. FYI, that's going to be a nice 1-2 punch. And, of course, I'm saving this for last. The Philadelphia Eagles, DeMarco Murray, Darren Sproles, and, oh, by the way, Ryan Matthews comes over from the West Coast.
Yeah, that's quite a threesome right there.
So, for me, it's the Eagles. For me, mm-hmm. I'm looking at that depth. And granted, yes, I know Ryan Matthews hasn't been able to stay healthy. But again, this is a running back who was the number one on another team. He's coming in here. He's going to be the number three with the Eagles. How about that? Same thing with C.J. Spiller. The Bills wanted to make C.J. Spiller the number one. Didn't happen. Now he's with the Saints. Now he's the number two. 1-2 punch with Ingram.
It's hard not to like the Eagles as the best of the bunch, based on what you just read off. I do think the Giants can be very high on that list if they're, again, if their guys do what we think they're going to do. I do want to mention about Marshawn Lynch, though. Anita, at some point in time, and you and I both know this because we've seen a lot of backs who suddenly hit that wall. I mean, it happened to Eddie George. It happened to Christian Okoye years and years ago. Some of these big, strong guys, the guys who are the workhorses, the guys who deliver the blow against the defender when they get hit because they like to hand out punishment as much as they're willing to take it. Those guys tend to all of a sudden, he's only averaging 3.2 yards a carry. Oh, you know, it's not working out so well. And whew, they go pretty quick. What year does Marshawn Lynch's production start to go the other way?
I don't know, but he just got paid, so I'm sure Seattle's hoping it's not this year.
Yeah.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to line two. Jeff is calling in from New Hampshire. Jeff, welcome. You're up.
Hey, just figured I'd touch in on the running back conversation. A couple points about our group and then something to think about Philadelphia's. But with our group, obviously it's one of the position groups we're a little more excited about than most. Something to keep in mind with Jennings. As bad as our offensive line was last year, before he got hurt, what was he, like third in the league in rushing?
Yeah.
You know, he was tearing it up pretty good. So that gives you something to be pretty hopeful for. We have to assume our offensive line is going to be a little better than last year. The other thing about that, too, he was kind of getting like DeMarco Murray-type carries. You know, he was the workhorse on the offense last year as a running back, mainly because what else did we have? You know, Williams was still a rookie. David Wilson got hurt, obviously, early. He never planned out. Peyton Hillis, you know, well past his prime. So we didn't have much other than Jennings last year. So we were kind of leaning on him pretty heavy. And like you guys said, he's got that injury history. So my hope this year, obviously I still want him to be our feature back, but I'm hoping his carries can go down a little bit so we can kind of keep him healthier, fresh legs, hopefully for a postseason run, that type of thing. But with Williams being in his second year and with Marine in here now, I think we've got a little bit more behind him than what we had last year. So I'm hoping that's going to help him, you know, stay fresh, stay healthy, stay productive throughout the whole 16-game season and into hopefully the playoffs. So I think that could be a big advantage for us. I think Williams, obviously, as a rookie last year, his best days are still well ahead of him. I look at a couple of our better running backs over the years, Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw. Took these guys a couple of years. You know, it wasn't like they came in and they were rookie of the year. Everybody remembers what Bradshaw did his rookie year because it was in the playoff run. But he was also fourth on our depth chart most of the season. It was when guys got hurt, he got his opportunity, made the most of it. But then in his second year, he was the third running back. We had Jacobs and Ward run for 1,000 yards each that year. Took him until his third, fourth year before he was, you know, one of our better backs. Brandon Jacobs was behind Tiki Barber for 2 years, so it took him a couple of years. So for Williams, I think there's going to be a big improvement over last year, but I think his best is still yet to come. And I think that gives us a lot to look forward to in that department, too. And then you got Vereen. Obviously, they intend to use him mostly in the passing game because what he did in the Super Bowl last year and all that. But I think he can take a few carries, too, to kind of lessen the burden on Jennings. And hopefully, you know, I don't want to see him have a DeMarco Murray 400-carry season, you know, type season. Because, you know, Murray, he wasn't the same by the end of the season. It takes a toll on these guys after 16 games.
Absolutely. All right, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to let you go because I wanted to expand on that on one of your points. Did you have one more?
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say compared to the Eagles' stable of running backs, I know that looks good on paper. And, you know, the Eagles' running backs, they're more accomplished, you know, career-wise. They're probably a little more accomplished, I would say. But don't get too intimidated by him. Remember, Murray had a great year last year running behind the best offensive line in football.
Yeah.
Before that year, he was a good running back, but I wouldn't say he was one of the best in the league prior to last year. So he comes to Philadelphia without that Dallas offensive line.
The Eagles' offensive line is not a bad running offense, run-blocking offensive line, though. Don't sell them too short. They're not bad.
Oh, I wouldn't say they're bad, definitely, but I wouldn't compare them to Dallas either.
Oh, well, Dallas is by far the best. Yeah.
Right. So I wouldn't put Murray that far ahead of a healthy Rashad Jennings. Maybe a little, obviously a little bit better, but without the Dallas line, I wouldn't put him leaps and bounds above Jennings. So then you got Darren Sproles. I mean, yeah, he's very dangerous. He's a third down back, but Shane Vereen is pretty comparable to Darren Sproles. And then you got Matthews comparing to Williams, and Matthews has had problems staying healthy. I don't think he's really lived up to a number one. He was a first round pick a few years ago.
Yeah.
I believe the same year Wilson was drafted by us, right?
Yep.
I don't know that he's lived up to a first-round pick. I mean, he's good, but is he that much better than what we're going to get out of Andre Williams in his second year?
We're going to find out.
I mean, we'll find out, but I wouldn't go crowning them just yet based on that running back group. I think ours is pretty comparable, as long as obviously every running back group depends on what your offensive line can do. But, you know, that's pretty much it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I want to mention that Rashad Jennings last year averaged 15 carries a game, but really the numbers skewed because there were two games where he just had token appearances. So basically he averaged about 18 carries a game last season for the Giants and gained about over 600 yards on those carries. I think, and I have not talked to Coach McAdoo about this, I think they're going to want to have him carry the ball a little less than that. I just don't think he's going to get 18 carries a game. I think it's probably going to be more in the neighborhood of 13 to 14. What do you think?
Well, obviously, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be interesting to see what we don't do. Do we really know? I don't think we know what the game plan is. I think we'll have a better taste
more of
it during OTAs. During training camp and preseason.
Until he got to the Giants, he had never averaged more than 11 carries a game, and that was the previous season with the Raiders.
Well, that's because he was with Darren McFadden.
Right, but what I'm saying is,
he came here to be the number one. He was the number two behind McFadden.
Yeah, but then even with Jacksonville, you know, 10 carries and less a game. What I'm saying is, this is a guy who's had durability issues. I don't think he's the type of guy, based on his track record and his injury history, that I would go into a season saying I want to give you the ball 18 to 20 times a game.
No, but I don't think that's even going to happen.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't think so either. So what I'm saying is, if you look at maybe 14 carries a game, which I think is a realistic number, and you're right, we can't tell. We don't know exactly, but I think that's a realistic number. I think that's what you want to project his value over the course of the season with.
Here are some tweets. This is from Toby. Jennings, if healthy, will lead in rushing yards. I'm not sure that Andre Williams and Vereen can carry the running game, running being all in caps. This is from RJL29_NYJ. Wants to see more Hunt, if you ask me. I think he's got more speed than Jennings Williams. You agree?
I don't know. I mean,
Do you like what you've seen so far?
What I've seen is he's got better straight-ahead speed than he does shifty speed, and that's one of the reasons why he wasn't drafted. I mean, I do think that he's got the potential to with some grooming, he could be an NFL player. But, you know, to just say he's got more speed than those guys, straight-ahead in shorts and T-shirts, maybe. But that's about it. I don't know that he's got play speed better than those guys, especially if you're having to make moves.
This is from BigBen_Z. Andre Williams will be the lead back by the end of the year. The kid is a healthier Bradshaw. Stomps just like him and has power, too.
Let me run something by you.
I love the way that Bradshaw ran.
Yeah, me too.
So much fun to watch him run.
Let me run this by you.
Is he still with the Colts?
I believe he's a free agent right now.
Is he?
Yeah. But let me say this. Regardless of what we do or don't know about how the Giants' game plan is going to go into the season with, I think we would both agree, if the Giants are going well and they've got the lead in the second half much more than they have in the last two seasons, you're going to want to lean more on that power running game than you have in the past, clearly. That would probably bode well for Andre Williams, because I think he's the guy who proved in college that he's got the physical makeup to take more of that pounding and more of that, hey, ball control, we're going to try to grind it out kind of style. Agree?
Yeah, I do. This is from George De Jesus, 2. Williams is going to be a touchdown machine this year. So he agrees with you as well. Let's continue with our calls. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and you're listening and watching, of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live here on a Thursday afternoon as we're broadcasting. Players are outside. It's OTA number 5, but no media availability. Make sure you follow the Giants on Twitter for all the updates in regard to all the action that's taking place out on the field. Let's go to line 3. Ed from Rochester is calling in. Ed, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. Great show. I love the show. I listen to the show either online when I'm at work on tape delay or if I'm on the app or live like I am right now. And really quick, I want to thank Paul for all your interactions. I interact with you on Twitter quite a bit during the season, so I appreciate that.
Sure.
My call is about Laurie Dunnell. I completely agree with your statement as far as the tight ends, who's gonna shape up. Every year I try to buy a new jersey, and the first jersey I bought last year was Laurie Dunnell. I think it's very imperative that Dunnell takes that next step into becoming the all-purpose tight end as far as blocking and receiving. We know he can receive, obviously. He's probably, growing in that role. But I think the more he can stay on the field, the better will be, because it won't give away replacing him in the lineup. And the other defense thinking, okay, this might be a running play because Dunnell's off the field. I wanted to get your feedback on that, and I really enjoy the show.
Thank you so much.
Larry Dunnell is a third-year player, and so I'm sure he would admit to you if he was sitting right here at the table with us that he still has something to learn. And one of the things he's got to learn to do better at is blocking. I mean, it's just that simple. So you're right. Would the Giants be better off if he could be a two-way tight end? Sure they would. Is that something that's possible? Does he have that in him? I don't know.
How many teams, and I'm not defending Larry, but how many teams out there in the NFL has that stud tight end who is the total package? Maybe 5? Maybe 7?
They're hard to come by. They're hard to come by. Gonzalez was a better blocker than people gave him credit for because he put up so many receiving numbers. Jason Witten is a much better blocker than people think he is. Again, they look at the numbers. They don't realize Jason Witten will fight a defensive end tooth and nail to get his running back some room. He's pretty good. Let's see. I'll give you another one. Gates is not bad, and he's one of those receiving tight ends. But mostly your numbers tight ends, like, for example, Olsen. He's not a blocker. He's a numbers guy.
Right.
Graham, numbers guy. I get your point. They're hard to find.
You know who I really like is the dude out in Kansas City. Travis Kelce, right? Travis Kelce.
Yeah, is it him? I'm forgetting the name too.
I'll Google.
But here's the point, okay? The point is, even if your lead tight end, who is primarily a receiver guy and not so much a blocker.
Travis Kelce.
It isn't. I wasn't sure.
I just watched this year. He's going to blow up.
Gronk isn't a bad blocker. He catches a lot of balls. He's a big-time numbers guy, but he's not a bad blocker. He's pretty physical.
Right.
The point that I want to make to you is
this.
You know
his family did the Family Feud?
I heard.
Yeah. What is that?
3 strikes, you're out.
Unbelievable. I don't know what it's. I don't know what the air date is, but I know that they shot it this week.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch.
Anyway, back to Larry Dunnell. I mean, so is it fair to say, he's not an all-around, all-purpose tight end. He can't do it all. Well, how many guys in the NFL can do it all?
Okay, but what you have to have then, if your lead guy is a catch guy, your number two guy better be a blocker. He better be really, really good blocker.
Okay, so break it down for us in regard to the tight ends that are on the roster.
Well, that's what the Giants have to figure out, because you're looking at the depth chart and you're saying, well, Daniel Fells, he's been in the league a while. He's the best blocker of the Giants tight ends right now. But is he the kind of guy who's going to absolutely maul somebody or get you that big push on a 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2? You know what? Even he will tell you he's not the best blocking tight end for that job. He's better than the rest of them, but He's not an absolute bruiser at that spot. See, I'm going to go back on you here again. I need I go old school so often. But, folks, Howard Cross, Mark Bavaro, Dan Campbell, Jake Ballard was actually a pretty good blocker. And I know you remember Jake and
of
Kevin
course,
Boss.
Of course.
Jake Ballard, here's what I liked about him so much. He could put up a certain amount of production in the passing game. Wasn't flashy. Was never going to be an all-pro. Was never going to be the go-to guy. But he could do enough in the passing game to make you respect him. And he did enough in the blocking game that you knew on third and one, you could run behind him, and he was reliable enough to get you that block. That's what you need. You need a tight end, and he can be the second string guy. You need to know that we can run that play and count on him to make his block. That's all. He doesn't even have to be a monster. He doesn't have to brutalize people up and down the field. But it's third and one. Can I run right because he's going to get the edge for me? That's all I need to know. If I got that, I'm happy.
201-939-4513. Let's take some final calls before we sign off for the day. We go to Dan in Florida. Dan, you're up.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Just a couple questions about our secondary with Mukamara and DRC and Collins in the backfield. You know how, like, this game's turning into a deep ball passing game? And question about, you know, Collins, you know, and DRC, DRC didn't really say that he's not really a talkative, communicative guy. And I'm wondering if, you know, since throwing Landon Collins in the rookie mix, you know, how do you think they're going to communicate in the backfield? Because I know Mukamara, you know, he would like to talk, but.
Well, let's just say this. These guys may not be the most talkative in the locker room. They may not be the most talkative to the media, per se. But it's different on the field. DRC has told us he's more than willing to blap against Dez Bryant. And they have a lot of fun with their trash talking on the field. So I don't have any worries about DRC and Prince and Landon Collins, who, by the way, is a very astute football guy. I've got no problem with those guys being able to talk on the field and do what they need to do. I'm not concerned about that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm just worried about it because you know how the passing game is nowadays. It's deep and, you know, with all of them out there and Mukamara coming off the injury and, you know, stuff like that.
All right. If you're worried about the deep ball, Anita, what's the best way to stop the deep ball? Pass rush. Get after
pass rush, yeah. And then we got Spags in the mix to, you know, bring it down.
Well, thanks for the call.
Dan, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, that's it. I was just wondering. Thanks.
All right. And how do you feel about the pass rush this year?
It's to be determined. I think there are numbers there. There's potential for this pass rush to be real good. We talked about it on the show the other day, Anita. You weren't here. You know, the Giants had, you know, on the high side of 40-plus sacks last season. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they got to be more balanced. I mean, a lot of them came in the latter stages of the season. But if the Giants have, you know, 45-plus sacks this year, and if it's consistent, that's a good number. I'm fine with that. You know, and I think they've got the guys to do it. Of course, it'd be nice if JPP could have 15 himself. That would help.
Right. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
Are we done?
Yeah.
Already?
I know.
It flies
by.
For real? I hate that. It just goes so quick. My only thoughts are that the OTAs will continue, and until they actually get to some contact, there are so many unanswered questions here that I just beg your patience as fans to understand that there are some things that we just aren't able to decipher yet. I know it's hard. Everybody wants, September 13th against the Cowboys. We all want that to be tomorrow. We all want the regular season to start so we can get into it and she can start compiling fantasy football numbers. I get that. But we still have a lot of time to go, folks. And so some of these things are just really unknowns yet. And they're going to be that way for a while. So that's the only thing I got to say.
Okay. I am back tomorrow with Lance Meadow.
You are?
I am. And then Monday again.
He makes you feel tall, doesn't he?
What? That was not nice. And then Monday is another OTA that the media will have access to. So look forward to, of course, Monday's OTA. I want to say that would be OTA number 7. And then the media will be here, so we'll have a ton of post practice sound from a lot of the guys that you can see on Giants.com. So have a great day, everybody. Again, be back tomorrow, high noon, right here on Giants.com with Lance Meadow for another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got it on the field. He's got through. 35, 30.